Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. We had a week that we need to talk about. The first thing that was on the agenda, we had the election, November the 8th. It was massive voter fraud. It was a scheme that involves absentee ballot, police threats, intimidation here in the city of Benton Harbor. It had been alleged that the emergency financial manager, Joseph Harris, tried to steal the election for Reverend James Hightower by forging absentee ballots and applications to ensure that his candidate wins the election. I do not believe personally that the emergency manager, Joseph Harris, actually forged any application and ballots, but he was very instrumental in the voter fraud scheme. The water department and other workers for the city had access to the absentee ballots. The ballots were personally taken to the city clerk by the workers who worked in the water department. They were not authorized to take the ballots. The ballots were dropped into a night box at the water department, sorted and delivered to the clerk. A Benton Harbor City police officer was seen carrying absentee ballots into the voting poll in his hand before the ballots were counted. A police officer also picked up a ballot from a voter and returned it to the clerk's office. There are several violations here, and we are very concerned. But the biggest of all, the police was stationed at every single polling place. One was even sitting at the desk where you show your ID and get your ballot. They were sitting right there. Would you believe that? Would you believe that? It's happened right here in the city of Benton Harbor. But on that note, we're going to hear a little Martin Luther King. Then we'll get to our guests and we'll talk a little bit more.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the crevaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. But listen, we have some very, very, very important news to report. I need everybody to listen in, because this is important. We're trying to locate a young man that lives inside the city of Benton Harbor. He was last seen by two white police officers from the city of St. Joe after leaving the hospital. But I'm going to put something on my blog, and I want everybody to tune in to make sure they understand how important it is, not only to the family, but this is very, very important to me. He's one of the few guys who understood the term stick and move. Most people don't understand what that really means, but he did. By him being a boxer, he understood it. Also, I'm going to read some of the stuff that was in the newspaper. Then I'm going to have one of his family members come on and just give us a few of the details. But I want people to listen and help us locate Mr. Timothy Allen. We call him Bulldog. It says here, it had been a week. Actually, it's been 11 days now since Timothy Allen was last seen walking across the Napier Avenue Bridge towards his home in Benton Harbor. He had just left Lakeland Regional Medical Center in St. Joseph, Michigan, his family said. The last people known to have seen him were the police officers and a Lakeland security guard. His daughter, Tamika Allen, sobbed Tuesday as the man's family and Benton Harbor police pleaded with the public to help find him. It is very, very unusual that he hasn't been seen or been in contact with anyone. Timothy Allen's sister, Jacqueline Allen, said, it's not like him at all, nowhere near his character. In a press conference at the Benton Harbor Police Department, Public Safety Director Roger Lane joined joined Mr. Allen family in their appeal. Sadly, the reason we're here is to put notice out that we're looking for one of our city residents, Roger Lane said. He said, Allen is 44 years of age. He's well known in the city and affectionately called Bulldog, a nickname he got while boxing in the PAL Boxing League years ago. I've known him since he was in high school, said Roger Lane. Now, I worked here at the custodian at the high school. We do not suspect foul play, but we not ruling it out. His family is here with us today to ask for your help. Lane said, anyone with information should call the Benton Harbor Police Department, and you can reach them at 269-927-0292, or you can call the number 804-363-9984. We want people to go out and look for this young man. We need your help. He was last seen wearing a red and orange jacket and dark pants. Timothy Allen's brother, Jeffrey Allen, said his brother was taken to Lakeland by ambulance the night of November the 9th and have not been seen since or have not contacted his family. Jacqueline Allen, her brother, was at the house at 505 Pavone Street in Benton Harbor the night of November the 9th, and he appeared to be ill, and she called the ambulance shortly after 8 p.m. That is the last time anyone in the family has seen or heard from him. She said her brother had been having seizures. He wasn't himself. If somebody had put something in his drink or something, she said. He has a history of walking away from the hospital. But I'm here to tell you, we need everybody on board on this. This is crucial. This is what I need people to understand. Timothy Allen, he was also my friend. He was one of the few guys in the community that actually thought I was a hero. But you know how that goes. But my thing is this. We have to find him. I'm hoping and praying that there have not been any foul play. But I know he haven't been around, has not been seen in 11 days. That's a long, long time. And I know this area quite well. There are still hanging nooses and burning crosses in this community as of today. And I'm very, very concerned. So I'm asking everybody to tune in. I'm going to put a picture on my website. And I'm going to put a statement on there so you know who you're looking for. So we have to do this. After all, we got many, many listeners, and I know somebody out there know where this young man is. We're asking for your help. But at this time, let me bring on his sister-in-law, Sherrod Allen. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, how you? Why don't you say hi to all my listeners, to listen audience, and just let them know who you are. Tell them a little bit about you.
Hi. First of all, thank you all for listening to us, giving ear. My name is Sherrod Allen. I'm originally from Richmond, Virginia. I came here for Timothy's father's funeral, met his brother, and in 3 months married him, and we've been living happily ever after for about 12 years now.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a good story for people to understand. But last night we had a candlelight vigil for him, and I thought it went extremely well, but always believed that we can do better. You know, I know how people are. I thought it was very spiritual, and I thought that people there kind of like got the message a little bit. But here's where you have to come in. You have to make sure you keep this family together, keep them focused, because I know how we do. You know, we get sidetracked. You know, they say we run fast, but we don't run long. So tell me this. Have there been any news or any new development as of today or that you might want to discuss?
No, there's been no new development at this point. Again, we have been searching vividly for him since last Sunday. It's a week actually today for me, his brother Anthony, and his sister Sandra, that we have been walking woods, hills, swamp areas, searching for him. And we do not want to make any accusations against anyone, but at this point in time, we don't know what other way avenue to explore but to maybe start looking at the last people who maybe saw him.
And that's tremendous. You're absolutely right. If according to the newspaper, and according to Chief Lane, the last individuals who saw him alive was the police officer and the security guard. Matter of fact, even the police officer saw him after that. According to them, at first I was told that they dropped him off on the other side of the bridge. Then I was later told that they drove by and he was walking in the street and they told him to get out of the street. So I really don't know. We won't know until we have a complete and thorough investigation. But the most important thing, we don't want to accuse nobody of nothing unless
That's
we
right.
have evidence to support what we're saying. Because in order for us to be legitimate, what we're saying and people listen, we have to make sure we have our facts correct. And to me, there's nothing more important than that. And I know Timothy. I know the type of person he was. And I know what he did. Whenever I saw him, he would always want to ride with me. And like I tell him, I'm going to the courthouse across the bridge, and that would kind of like neutralize him a little bit. But he was always interested in what I was doing or what I was going to do next. And I'm concerned. I'm very concerned about him. And I want people in this community. I want people in the community to understand that, hey, we got to take this thing to a whole different level. We got to find Timothy. And we got to find him by any means necessary. And when is the next day that you're going to be out searching for him?
Tomorrow, me and his sister-in-law plan to get up in the morning and begin a search. Anyone who would like to help us, you can meet us at Broadway Park at 10. We'll meet there about 10 to see if anybody comes out. And any organizations, any experts in this kind of area that would like to contact us or help us, we greatly appreciate it. And, again, we will meet tomorrow for a few minutes at Broadway Park. We know that people have to go back to work on Monday, but anyone that is available tomorrow and willing to go out and help us search for our loved one, Mr. Timothy Bulldog Allen, we would appreciate it so much.
That's beautiful. And Broadway Park is between Empire and May Street. I think that's the next big street to that. And it's about 1000 Broadway. That's the address. So people need to know. What time did you say that you're going to start in the morning?
We will start about 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
Yes.
And I know there's a lot of people out there, even the people that are listening from Benton Harbor. We are asking you to please come out. If you don't have to work tomorrow, please come out and act and help the Allen family find their brother. If you live in Benton Harbor, you know Bulldog. If you live here, if you don't live here, come and help us anyway. We need all the help we can get. And we're sending out a plea right now for people to come from all over, people who are experts at this. You know, there's a lot of folks out there who know how to find people, and we don't know where he is. Today, I believe, is the 11th day, if I'm correct. Today is the 11th day that he's been missing?
Yes, sir. Today is the 11th day.
And that's way too much time. So we
yes.
need to find him. So we need to get out there, and if you can do it, hey, I want to make sure you're able to come. But listen, in closing remarks, if there's something else you want to say, you can take about a minute or so and say it.
Again, first of all, we just want to thank Benton Harbor Police for all that they have done, Chief Lang, Investigator West, and everyone else on the force there. We just thank you and we appreciate you to the community of Benton Harbor. We cannot stop looking for Timothy. Even though the days are going by, we must make this a top priority to bring one of Benton Harbor community members back to Benton Harbor. And again, on behalf of Tamika, Sandra, Anthony, Jeff, Mac, and even his brother Pookie, we want to thank you and his extended family for all you've done. And we want to thank you, Reverend Pinkney, for giving this opportunity to be on your radio show just to get our story out to the public.
Amen. And, you know, and it's really, you personally, you really don't have to thank me because I feel like this is my job. It's my duty. If even if it wasn't for you, it's even for him. You see, Timothy was like I said before, he was one of the few guys who actually felt that I was a real live hero. And I appreciated him because I can always ask him to do something. I need my papers out or whatever I need done. He wouldn't even, he would give me no lip. He'll just do it. And I appreciate that. But, you know, he always had that little like a smirk on his face that, you know, he always wondered about, because I could tell him stick and move, and he understood exactly what it meant. But on that note, before you go off the air, I got my one of my co-hosts, Ralph Pointer, on the line. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney. And this is definitely a sad occasion, but it points up again the value of your program as a resource, not only for information, but as a resource for action, for basic survival, for immediate or future plans. So it is important that people, everyone who hears this, tell their friends about this program. This is a program that is a must for every community, and we find our community underrepresented in every phase of our life and communications particularly. So we have a resource here, so we have to join this resource for our own survival, for our own interest. So, Reverend, you know, like, I hope you find Bulldog. I hope for the family that we, you know, like, what you say, a family member missing. I have no words for it, but I know that your plea, your call will reach many ears, and it should reach many ears, not only around the country, but right there in Benton Harbor. And good luck to all of us in terms of finding Bulldog. But I think that they might mention a few more things in terms of information that people might have. What type of illness was it? I think I heard somebody say that he had the habit of walking out of the hospital. What type of, does he have diabetes? Does he need his medicine? What are these issues? Might he have gone to a drugstore to get medicine? Would any family member like to comment on that?
No, he didn't have any particular disease
illness
or illnesses, but he has been in the past few months having seizures recently, mm-hmm. But he was not on any medication from day to day to prevent the seizures or anything like that. And we were informed by some family members that he had a couple seizures on Tuesday, but he did not have one on Wednesday that anybody visibly saw. But it's not to say that he didn't have one on that Wednesday.
Could you answer another question? Does he walk with a limp? Anything that would be telltale besides the clothes that he was wearing?
No, he does not have a limp or anything. You know, he walks pretty much normal.
You describe him. What is his figure? What does he look like?
He is a black male, probably about 5'7" and a half, particularly tan, not dark, not light, but in between, caramel color maybe. He did have a braid in the front of his hair going down the front of it, looked like a little rat tail in the front.
How much did he weigh?
We would say between 155 and maybe 160, basically.
That's a slight built man. 155, 5'7", 5'8". That's a slight built man. Fair complexion, one braid in the hair. That's something in the front of his head. That's unusual. That's something for people to focus on, and they might remember that. Describe the clothing that he was last wearing.
There is a little bit of discrepancy in that, but from what we seen, the jacket that he was wearing was a sweater-like fleece sweat jacket with orange in it, dark brown, and maybe some cream in it.
Uh-huh.
And he had on dark-colored pants.
Uh-huh, and the weather the day he left?
The weather the day he left was clear, but cold.
Clear and cold. Yes, I think that's a good description, and the direction in which he was walking on the other side of the bridge?
He was
toward
leaving.
What would he be going towards on the other side of that bridge, as I heard the facts as you stated? Was there a shopping mall in the direction he was going? What was over there on that side?
He was leaving Lakeland Memorial Hospital where he had been treated. We have not been able to get medical records because of a HIPAA law saying that we did not have power of attorney in him, so we have not been able to find out exactly what they treated him for. But he was leaving Lakeland Memorial Hospital, walking across the bridge towards Miami Street, which would have led him back into his hometown, his home neighborhood of Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Well, excuse me, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know Michigan law, but I think it's a reasonable assumption that a wife, a parent, would have access to that information. Patient confidentiality does not exclude family members, not particularly a wife should be able to access that information. And the police department should be able to access that information if it helps to locate him. Any clue that people might have to where his existence, what happened to him. I think that's of extreme importance. And you hear it all of the time over the radio. A person had diabetes, they're going to need certain medicine. Patient information that's going to help locate him. I would push the police a little on that to say, what was he treated for? Was he given any type of drug when he left that might have disabled him in any manner?
And Ralph, you're really correct about that, because in a case like this, we need to know what you treated him for, what time did he leave. You see, what time did you treat him, what time did he leave, and what time did the police officer see him walking in the middle? See, all this is very, very important. You see, so
yeah,
we have to be prepared for something like this. And I'm telling you this, you do have access to these files once the sheriff's department get involved, you will definitely have access to these files. But before you come on, I know that I got Mary on the line too, and what I want to do with Mary, because since her brother, she had something with her brother, she might want to talk about that briefly. But Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And
how about yourself?
I'm praising God. I want to say to Mr. Allen's family, Timothy Allen, I am so sorry about your relative being missing. I prayed for his safe return. I want you to excuse me. I'm in a restaurant, and I'm here, Reverend, with another Cochran. I'm here, Reverend, with another lady she feels like she's in a lot of trouble. She is harassed and stalked like I am. She called me off my articles, because she also is a victim of the Cochran firm fraud.
Okay.
The Cochran firm has also got two lawsuits against them, one from a black family in Kentucky, another from a family in California. They're being caught up with now. They're suing them for fraud.
Mary, hold that thought for a second.
Okay.
Hold that thought. All
right.
Mr. Rye, Ms. Allen.
Yes.
Okay. What I want you to do, if You take another couple of minutes, if you want to say something, then I'm going to go into my show, if it's okay with you.
Yes, sir, it is. Again, like we say, we just plead for any information. If anybody knows anything, if you've done something with him, please just give us that to him. I mean, you don't have to let anybody know. Just put him in a place where we'll be able to find him, and so that his family, we can move on and have closure on this situation, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. We just would like for Timothy Allen to be returned to Benton Harbor area so that we can find him in whatever condition that he is in, so that we can take proper channels to proceed on with closure for this situation. And again, anyone that would like to help us, please, please do not hesitate to call me at 804-363-9984 if you can think of anything that may help us in this particular search. Again, 11 days has gone by. We are 11 days too late already, and we need immediate assistance, and we need immediate workers to be able to work with us night and day, and we're willing to not turn this over to anybody, but to get out there and work with you and be up 24 hours a day to make sure Timothy Allen, better known as Bulldog, is returned safely to us. Or like we say, in reality, we must face that something bad could have happened to him, and we just need closure for that also so we can deal with that part of it.
And could I ask your number, 804-363-9984. Everyone should write that down, and I assume that is your home number for people to give you any information. And that, and I think that you are wise in saying that you want closure, that you could end it there. You just want your family member back, 804-363-9984, to notify you as to where you might be able to go and get in contact with Bulldog.
Yes, and can I say one more thing, please?
With go right ahead.
With you all having my number, please, please be very sensitive to calling with false information and information that is going to send us on wild goose chases, and you know that you don't know anything about the situation. We beg of you, please be, think about it. If there was one of your loved ones, would you want somebody to make a call to you with the call that you're getting ready to make to us? That's all we ask, because we've had some things said over the internet, Facebook, and calls made to us that just weren't true. It upset his daughter, and she has not been the same since some postings on Facebook. And please just spare us. If you're not sure, if you don't know, and you just want to be a part of it, just call and wish us the best and pray for us. But please don't call with any made-up stories. We beg of you of that.
You know, that's very good. I mean, I couldn't have put it better myself, and I'm so glad you put that out there. But you got to remember this. You're going to get people that who's going to call. They saw him somewhere in Minnesota. You're gonna get it all, you know. So let's prepare ourselves for that also. Anytime we put something out there like this, people, you're going to get a lot of those wackos calling and things like that. But we got, like you said, we have to screen the calls also, because I'm going to be getting calls, which I have gotten calls in reference to stuff like that. And what I do, I normally call Chief Lane and let him know exactly what the person called. I tell them to call the chief. I give him his number. I give him his cell phone number. I make sure that he gets the call, not Reverend Pinckney, because I think if he be able to cycle through some of the stuff that the people are saying. So you are absolutely correct. And, you know, it's the most important thing that we can say that, you know, Ms. Allen, just continue to be strong and deal with this on this level, because, like I said, you're going to get a lot of wacko calls. You're going to get, and you know how the residents here in Benton Harbor are. They're going to be saying all kind of stuff. You go down to that soup kitchen, you're going to hear stuff you never heard before. But we have to prepare ourselves mentally for what's about to happen. Or
I would like to ask another question. Did
go
you
right
have
ahead.
Any money on him or any ability to go out of the area on his own, such as money for an airplane ticket, a bus ticket, anything like that?
As far as we know, he did not have a substantial amount of money on him. He may have had, a few dollars here or there, but we don't think it was enough money to get him out of the city of Benton Harbor. But again, we were not with him. We were not in his pockets. And so if anything at this point may be possible, and that's why we feel it's so important to get him his picture on CNN News or HNL headline news, so that if he is in another state, that people will see the picture of him and be aware that he is missing and that we are looking for him. So if anyone, again, out there is able to get us some national-wide recognition to get his picture out there nationally, please, please be the first caller to call me, because we have been trying to do that since maybe Monday, and we've just been hitting dead ends.
A slightly built person of color 5'7", with a braid in the front. That's telltale. And I think that that if that is still the situation, that's something for people to focus on, the braid in the front of his head.
Well, very, very, very good. And Sherrod, would you just hold on? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes at the end of the show just to refresh people's memory, and you can extend your phone number, and we'll take this thing to a whole different level. But we want people to know. I'm going to place it on my blog, and we get many, many, many hits on our blog, and I'm almost positive that something is going to come up. So if anybody know anything, they will eventually it'll come to the front. So let's just pray and take this thing one step at a time. And on that note, I got to go to you, Ralph. Tell us a little bit about Lynn.
Yes, well, Lynn Stewart, I think the new news is that her appeal, as I had said last week, is going to be held in New York, February the 29th, 2012. I had said 2011, but we all know that passed a long time ago. February 29th, 2012. And when I mentioned it to Lynn, she hadn't known when she called me. And so she says, well, you know what day that is? And anybody who remembers this, Sadie Hawkins Day. You have to be a certain age to know what that means. A cartoon that Little Abner of many years ago.
Mm.
And Sadie Hawkins Day was the day that women would Daisy May was always chasing Little Abner to marry him. So,
Absolutely. So
like I said, it was funny, and Lynn remembered it. She says, well, she says, I don't know whether that's a good omen or a bad omen, or whether it's an omen at all. But that was the first thing out of her mouth when she said February 29th. She says, oh, we all remember that, you know, like people who read the funny papers. So she's still, we are thinking of how we can begin a campaign for getting her some medical attention in the hospital. She never did get the operation that she was scheduled to have when the nation was, what would you say, was in the grips of Islamophobia, in the grips of terrorism. Before the nation, the people of the nation realized they were being robbed, it was like the bump of a pickpocket who bumps into you and you're concerned about the bump, and then only later when you go to reach for your pocket did you realize your pocket has been picked. So in the period of the bump, in the hysteria, where everyone was a terrorist, Ashcroft, people have forgotten his name, Bush is gone. People have forgotten that era. The Islamophobia is still here, but the hate that was displayed towards anyone who supported Muslims' ability to access the systems that we have. And I say the criminal injustice system, as bad as it is towards people of color, they denied the Muslims to right and all other immigrants of color the right to access this system. And Lynn Stewart, who stood tall, and I always remind people, people who have forgotten the period where black people tried to ride on the buses. Mind you, ride in the front of the buses were beaten physically, beaten almost to death. And the white people who supported them, and I don't want anyone ever to forget the bus station in Alabama where those white people were taken off the bus by a mob with the sheriff watching, and people were beaten and thrown over rails and kicked and stomped. White people, for daring to support black people's right to interstate commerce, riding on the front seat of the bus. So when we all applauded those people who stood up, and when the Muslims came along, nothing was different. Lynn stood up, and there was much hate towards her. And so much so that when she traveled around the country to law schools and universities talking about the injustice and defending the Bill of Rights, the Second Circuit said she didn't get enough time. She was out on bail after having been convicted of ridiculous terrorist charges. And they said she was going around the country corrupting our youth, and she had to go to jail immediately, even though she had an operation scheduled in New York. And she went to jail immediately, not having had the operation. And she has been in jail 2 years, 2 days ago. As of November the 17th, I believe, 24 months in jail, and she still needs the operation. And now we're, her case comes up, the appeal will be heard. And the appeal involves whether the Second Circuit had a right to change her 28-month sentence to 120 months. That is from two and a third years to 10 years. And when we have that and we're looking for a victory, and whether we win, lose, or draw, we're going to the Supreme Court to fight the unjust conviction. There was nothing. There was no evidence. In that case, it said Lynn was anything but a great attorney that she is. But we all remember, anybody of color over 60 years old remembers a time in America where you had to travel across the country to get a lawyer who would defend a black person accused, not found guilty, but accused of any heinous crime. So this is a part of American history, and Lynn just happens to be one of these outstanding people that stood up for what was right and was punished violently for standing up. And then years later, we say, oh, we're sorry. But as in the case, this was the week that John Brown's body was fought through New York City. And there was so much anger against him that the minister at St. Mark's Church on the Bowery had to hide the body. They had to move it because of the anger. So we're seeing a repeat of history, and they changed the name. And Lynn Stewart is in there. She understands perfectly. She thanks everybody for their support. We may have to go at them again with letters. And she says she feels guilty asking people for help for
she
her medical care in the
hey,
prison.
Hey, Ralph, one thing for sure, she shouldn't feel guilty of nothing because, hey, she's everybody's hero. And
yes,
the work that she has done,
people
is
out
so
here have no medical help. Mm. And who's supporting the people who haven't been convicted of anything who need medical help? And that's all I'll say. Thank you, Reverend.
And thank you. And I tell you, you have done a tremendous job. Let Lynn know that Reverend Pinckney say he loves her. And tell her I said keep up the good work and keep fighting because we're here for her. And on that note, we'll bring in Mary. Mary, are you there?
And to know that I'm certainly going to do all I can on my blog and with my Twitter. I have a very large following. I have, God has blessed me to put it out there when my brother was missing and he was murdered by the police. And so I have a lot of sympathy for the Allen family and just count on me to do all that I can. And I'm sure God is going to send you a lot of help, okay? Can you hear
and
me?
She can hear you. She's still there. You're still there, right, Shira? Okay, but here's what we want you to do. I know you got a big blob. We're going to send you some information, and I want you
Please.
To spread it around. But the point is, we don't want people, make sure you put on there, we don't want people to go out here and with all these accusations and stuff, saying what
well,
they saw. We want to make sure.
I'm going to direct them to this radio show, sir. So that, you know, they will hear you tell them, and they will hear Miss Allen say, please don't call with just silliness. I'm just going to put his picture and direct them to this radio show. Is that okay?
That would be great. That would be great. As a matter of fact, you can even give them my email. You can also give them my phone number if they wish to call. And also I'll stream the calls and make sure that we're getting the right information out. There's nothing more important than getting accurate information out, and that's what we're doing. Because I know that you know your brother was was murdered.
My brother
you know,
was secretly arrested and murdered 18 days later.
Mm. And I know that you know how it feels. So it, you know, maybe we'll get a chance where maybe you can come out and talk or whatever needs to be done, so we can show the family. See, what one thing we got to do, we got to make sure we rally the community in a way where we can get thousands of people just to show up and do the things that need to be done. And if we get enough folks out there, like my plan is, I think after today we should have more people willing to go out and look and try to find Bulldog. I think that it's time that we take this thing to a whole different level. And Mary, I know you know, and like we got Ralph on the line. We got folks who can actually help.
Okay, Reverend Pinkney, I have somebody here who needs to say three words because she's in danger.
Okay.
And she needs to say three words because they cut off her phone after she contacted me, sir. They know that I exposed the Jenny Cochran firm for it. After she contacted me, they cut off her house phone. It doesn't have anything to do with the phone bill. I called the police because I couldn't get in touch with her again. She called my number, and they said, you can't dial that number. So they tried to keep us apart. We met today, and I said, if we can call Reverend Pinkney, maybe they can stop gang stalking you because they'll know it's already out. So she only has three words, and maybe it will help them stop chasing her.
Okay. And
whoever's doing it.
Go right ahead.
It
started. All right, here you go.
Hello, my name is Edwina Davis.
Well, hello, Edwina.
Hi, Reverend Pinkney.
How you doing today?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm a victim of... I'm sorry, sir?
Uh-huh.
I'm a victim of the Cochran firm, fraud, and gang stalking.
Well, go right ahead. Tell me the whole story.
Okay, I had a case pending in court back in 2001 against Tyco Corporation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was being sexually harassed by my supervisors and regular coworkers. I ended up, they had a, and I had went to the Cochran firm because an employee hung a noose up in the window at our job. And so when I went to the Cochran firm, it was about five of us that went there and met up with Mikhail Pete, who was the attorney. They said Audrey Talkin was going to be the attorney that would be representing us, but when we got there, it was actually attorney Mikhail Pete.
Mm-hmm.
And my case was settled. My case and my sexual harassment case was settled, but they said the reason they wouldn't take the news case because the company apologized, sent out an apology letter for the noose being hung.
Hmm. You know, they just hung a noose here in Benton Harbor. And they've been hanging nooses everywhere. Also, they burned a cross here.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, okay, tell me a little bit about Johnny Cochran Law Firm.
The law firm that's located in Atlanta. Georgia, the one that said don't exist, that's the one I went and filed my own court papers, but the attorney went and had my case removed from the dock because he said he needs to ask that my case be amended before he submitted it into court and he take up on it, and that's what I allowed him to do, not knowing that he had no intentions on resubmitting it on the court papers, so there would be no trails that there was ever a case against them.
Wow. No paper trail at all.
Right.
Okay.
Other than the papers that I had.
What kind of papers do you have now?
Just the court papers, the EEOC papers where I went, and that turned out to be a scandal as well.
Oh. Is it possible for you to scan those or send them to me so I can look at them for you?
Sure. Can I get your fax number?
Okay, my fax number.
Are you
on
mail?
Yeah,
you want me to mail them because it's a lot of paper.
Oh, it's a lot of paper?
Yes.
Okay, any way you want to send in is fine. You can send it. You can fax it to me, but we'll talk after the show. Let me give you my phone number so you can call me, okay?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Okay, you got
I'm
a
ready.
Pen?
Yes.
Okay, it's 269
269
925
0-0-1. And listen, I wish I had more time to give you right now, but I got one, I got another person. We got almost 40 callers on the line, and I got to let this one person in. And but if you call next week, I'll give you more time to talk.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right, then let me bring in. I got to bring in Libby. Libby, are you there?
Good evening to everyone. Yes, this is a reading from bhbanco.org. That's BH is in Benton Harbor, Banco, BANCO.org, bhbanco.org. Whirlpool, which, by the way, runs Benton Harbor, Michigan. Whirlpool shares sinking lower, down 2.2%. One of today's stocks on the move is Whirlpool, down 2.2% to $52.26. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is now trading 0.6% lower to 12,019, and the S&T is trading 0.6% lower. Whirlpool Corporation manufactures and markets major home appliances. The company's principal products include, well, all the stuff we know. Laundry, appliances, refrigeration, et cetera, et cetera. And they're sold worldwide. Whirlpool share prices have moved between a 52-week high of 92.28 and a 52-week low of 47.35 and are now trading 10% above the low price at $52.26 per share. The 200-day and 50-day moving averages have moved 0.69% lower and 0.48% lower over the past week, respectively. And there's some more information, another short paragraph about what we hope is Whirlpool going down. And after that, on the same website, is on a different topic, $14 million funneled away from Benton Harbor. That's the title. Several Berrien County commissioners recently stated they really like the way things are going in Benton Harbor. Well, this is because they don't live there. And because they approve of the illegal Whirlpool Harbor Shores land theft and takeover. For 15 or more years, federal money targeted for Benton Harbor has been funneled away from the city, and it's happening again. This time it's with money that could really alleviate suffering of residents. $14 million. It comes from HUD's Neighborhood Stability Program 2. Now, the emergency manager of Benton Harbor is Joseph Harris. Ask him and Brett Witkowski, the Berrien County Treasurer, how this money will be used. It's not hard to imagine. Harbor Shores Resort homes and golf course, or Whirlpool's new, quote, campus, unquote, that they're building right on the river. Constitutionally guaranteed freedom does not exist in Berrien County, Michigan. Yet those who are stealing it, the county commissioners and Whirlpool Corporation, are permitted to do so by all local, state, and national officials who have the power to end the stealing. Those of us in Benton Harbor especially suffer the lack of justice. The commissioners consist of 12 whites and one African-American, and they refuse to lift a finger to help the residents of Benton Harbor. Taxes, which are paid by the residents of Benton Harbor, are not put back into their own community. Commissioners voted for the Berrien County Emergency Management Office of Homeland Security to be able to apply for federal funds for the development and maintenance of the program, quote, capable of protecting life, property, and vital infrastructure in time of disaster everywhere in Berrien County except Benton Harbor. There's no end of that quote. Little mistakes. They only take from residents who are living a disaster every single day. It's a mystery how human beings, like in St. Joseph, Michigan, right next to Benton Harbor, can live so close and not care. they carry out target practice to ensure that not a single resident of Benton Harbor is left alive. Benton Harbor continues to be a city under siege. When will it end and residents can breathe freely and live happily and live happy lives? The NAACP of Benton Harbor, of which Reverend Pinckney is president, has an important goal: to spread the fight locally, in the state, nationally, and internationally. We feel that Benton Harbor will continue to live in the most dire straits imaginable until people from the outside step in. The mishandling of public trust by Berrien County could not be more massive, unjust, inhumane, and unconstitutional. Representative to Congress Fred Upton, along with Whirlpool, spearhead the oppression. That's the end. And I wanted to ask one question and make one comment.
Go right ahead.
Question is, since this article is actually by Reverend Pinckney, when you say that they carry out target practice to ensure that not a single resident of Benton Harbor is left alive, is that sort of like a metaphor, or is that for real?
That's a metaphor.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my comment is something about the Occupy movement that I read. There's a book that I have not read, but I read about.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can't remember the name of it now. But anyways, it's comparing the revolutions that have happened in various countries in the last 200 years, and that they all have one thing in common, that the power structure fell when the police and, you know, people who are paid, you know, the police, basically, and people like the police, when they stopped doing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris Hedges, who wrote this column, he has a column every Monday at truthdig.com, and I think they're worth reading, his columns. He's been writing about this Occupy movement and, you know, analyzing it and dissecting it. I thought this is a really interesting point, that he feels that this is happening. This is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That the power structure in the U.S. is going to fall, because it's just beginning to happen that police are starting not to want to do what they're told. They're starting
Absolutely.
To they're starting to identify more with the occupiers.
Mm. And especially the young police officers. It's the young ones that's really, really beginning to see the difference. And I tell you, people don't quite understand how powerful this is. This is a movement. It's, you know, even in the 60s, we used to get, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people at a time. But now what they're doing, you're getting 400 or 500 in patches. And it becomes as big as ever. And this
you
is what's making it so important, because now they're ordering the police department and the police officers to attack the occupants. You see, they're ordering them to attack them, knowing that what it's going to do is going to ignite the whole country and keep everybody moving. But look, I got about a minute left. I want Ralph to come on, then I'm gonna bring Mary on just for a second, and let's do it just like that. Ralph, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. And
you got about 60 seconds, so say whatever your heart desires.
I will be very brief. Congratulations on the beginnings of success of your Stop Whirlpool program. You are hurting them. We must stay involved. We must continue to refuse to buy anything Whirlpool. And I would extend that to stop this rapacious corporate juggernaut that's coming down upon us to destroy us. Don't buy anything. Let us stop them where we can. We don't have to go in the streets to fight the corporations. All we must do is to keep our pennies in our pockets. So remember, let's make Christmas a religious holiday rather than an economic holiday for those so inclined. Write a Christmas card to Lynn Stewart. Write a Christmas card to political prisoners. Help people in need. Make that your Christmas gift. Thank you for your time.
Hey, beautiful. Hey, Mary, go right ahead. You got about 30 seconds.
All right, Reverend, I want everybody to take note of one fact. We are two women in Atlanta that are gang stalked and that are having trouble because of racism and corruption. And who do we call? We call Reverend Pinckney way up in Michigan. We are in the city area of Atlanta, Georgia, where you think you got national civil rights leaders. So I want everybody to take note of that fact and support Reverend Pinckney. Why should we in Georgia have to call Reverend Pinckney about problems in Georgia? There's something wrong with that picture. I want you to make sure that we work together to keep Reverend Pinckney on the national level where he belongs and some of these other people do not. Reverend Pinckney has a way for you to donate to his cause and his website, don't you, Reverend?
Yes, I do.
Right on, Mary.
We need to donate. We need more people like you to be able to reach out more because I tell you, there are a lot of people who are in place who are really just in the way, Reverend.
Mm.
And with
and
that, I will let people know that they can go to my blog to hear more about this lady who is having a run from stalking, and we think it's connected to the Cochran firm fraud like mine. I appreciate you letting her have a few minutes because that let them know that she has some real help behind her now.
And let her know that next week I'm going to give her more time to talk. On
but
that note,
you,
I want to talk about Timothy Bulldog Allen, the man that's missing in the city of Benton Harbor. He's been missing for 11 days now. My thoughts, I don't want to throw accusations out here. I don't want to say this, but he was last seen by the St. Joe Police Department allegedly taking him across the bridge. And on that day, at that time, he had never been seen again. And we're talking 11 days. 11 days, and nobody ever saw him. There's no track of him. They didn't bring the dogs out to fight, get his scent. They didn't do none of that stuff. But Mr. Timothy Bulldog Allen is missing, and I'm fearing for his life right now. I'm afraid that he's no longer with us. And I believe that it has been foul play. I don't want to accuse nobody, but I'm just telling you what Reverend Edward Pinckney, the president of the NAACP, the president of Banco, the president of Stop the Takeover of Benton Harbor, these are my thoughts. And I believe that now is time for the people to rise up. We got to occupy not only Benton Harbor, but everywhere. We got to start taking back our country before it's too late. If we don't take back the country, they're going to take us. If we don't take over the corporation, they're going to take us over. So we got a choice. It's either them or us. But on that note, I got to say goodnight. We have just ran out of time. And I promise next week, Mary, I'm going to give her more time. I'm going to make time for
Thank
her.
You.
And Ralph,
Thank
whenever
you,
you need to, whatever you need, you got it, Ralph. And don't forget it. And Libby, God bless you, and I really appreciate you. And I want
hey,
you to have a beautiful, beautiful night. And listen, let's talk.
Reverend Pinckney, can I ask you something?
Go right ahead.
Do you think you should put that on the blog?
Yes, I am. No question. I'm gonna send you an email about it.
Okay, thank you. Bye, everybody.
Tonight. I'm gonna do it tonight. All right then.
I can get the picture from your blog, right? I can get the young man's picture from your blog.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay then. Ralph, talk to you later. Everybody, God bless y'all and have a good night and happy Thanksgiving.
God bless you.
Okay then. We shouldn't be saying happy Thanksgiving, but happy Thanksgiving.
Right on.
All right, then.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.